Good morning, church. I'd like to extend my appreciation towards the elders for giving me this opportunity to speak a portion of God's Word with you. Amen. And that, as Brother Carter says, what did Brother Carter say? God is good. All the time, God is good. Okay, there we go. Let's see if everybody's on their toes. But today I want to talk to you about what makes a beautiful life. What makes a good life? Or in other words, what is your journey all about? Because from the moment we were born, we had an appointment with death. Didn't say when, how, or where, but we all have an appointment with death. But the point is, are you ready? I remember I got this old movie at home. Called It's a Wonderful Life. How many people saw that? It's not a scriptural a movie. Though portions of it was. You got George Bailey spent all this time. He wanted to go on vacation. He wanted to see the world. But, and before this happened, when he was younger, to get a real good picture of it, back when Beta was a kid, his little brother, this is I'm talking about George, he went and saved his little brother who fell in the pond. They were snow sliding. And he got an ear infection that day, which later on led to him not being drafted into the service. And then another character is Mr. Potiphar. Now, he's a greedy. He wanted everybody's money. And then there come along George Buddy's father. Showing the right of the dignity that people don't have the right to live in Potter's Field. Live in sub-culture. Barely living by the skin of their teeth. And they work hard for their money. But Beatty put together this, his father put together the savings and loan. So everybody, when they die, they have a little something to look back on. And so, when Bailey was going to leave, he was going on his vacation. He's going to tour the world before he goes back to school. His father passed away due to a heartache, no less. Bailey, in order to keep his mouth shut, they put him on the board. He's fixing to leave. And said the only reason they're going to keep the savings loan open if Mr. Bailey will stay, if George will stay. And so he stayed. Next came up. He saved his money up. He was going to go on, he's going to get married. And by the time they fixed and go on their honeymoon, the depression hit. The bottom fell out of the banks. And said, those who can hold out till the following Monday, till the dust clears away, everybody will be okay. So, George asked him, what can you live on till Monday? He took his vacation money and paid everything out. When he got through, he only had a dollar left. So they put that in the bank. And because of that gesture, him buckling down when things gone bad. I believe God is watching over him. That he'll pull that bank out. And zip time forward a little bit. There's his uncle, Billy, who's going to make a deposit. It's towards the end of the movie. He's making a deposit. He put the money in between in a newspaper, put it under his arm, you know, went over there, and mistakenly set the newspaper there on the counter. Then he started looking for it. See, Billy had a forgetful mind. He's always having strings tied on his finger, trying to remind him of things he needs to do. But they never could find him. Now, as crooked as Potiphar was, he saw that money. He didn't say nothing about it. He just took that money on with him. And it got to a point that he had to jump over. He thought about committing suicide. He was going to jump off the bridge. But here's the unscriptural part. In ways it is. They sent an angel down. And Betty was so apt to help people. He forgot his troubles for a minute, and the angel jumped in the water, and then when he got and when they was driving, you know, George said, "I thought I should. I wish I wasn't born at all." But then the angel said, yep, that's what we'll do. He turned time around. He turned time around that George Buddy wasn't born at all. Oh, he went frantic-y all through the town. There was a druggist that he was working for. He's supposed to deliver medicine, but he's delivering the wrong medicine. But he wasn't there to stop him. And so he got convicted and sent to jail for murder. It's because when the druggist's son was killed while in war, that all this comes to a head at the end of the story where everybody was praying for George Bay. Over the period of time that they've been saving money, everything, it was for this moment. Even though Potiphar has original money, the people gave back. They paid back everything that Miss Potiphar took, and then and at the end, the bell rang, and his little daughter says, "Angel got his wings." coming to this, our life on here is short. It's only for a period of time. James says, it appears for a moment as a vapor. Then it disappears. There are things in this world that are more important than money, even the food we eat, even those are essentials. Our key component is Jesus. Amen. Jesus died for you and me. We have these people, denominational people. We have people walking the streets. We got people on the TV and the movies trying to tell us what kind of life we should live, that it's a good life. But if we look under the veneer, that's all it is, just veneer. It's not soul searching. Our soul's at stake. We meet people from day in and day out, all through this life, in this thing we call life, or journey. And a lot of times, for some of us, it's an adventure. Because we haven't been places where we've been before. We don't know what to expect. Or what to do when we get there. But the Bible tells us what to expect. Amen. And how to get there. Amen. The circumstances that we encompass, the bad, the good, and I sort of say the ugly too, that they're to shape our character along with the Bible. The Bible first and people second. Because when you talk to people, especially of the world, they don't know what you're talking about when you're talking about Jesus. All they know is self. They always think about themselves. They don't think about nobody else. They want to see how they can con people out of money and of stuff that they have. And it's got so bad in the past. They robbed a kid just because they want his tennis shoes. And that's a sad situation. Chicago is a sad situation, even though it's a great city. It has its problems like everybody else. It's just because of its size that it is blowing up exponentially. That is 10 times worse than it would have been in a small city because you don't have the people. Because when you get people together, there are conflicts. We get stressed out. Brother Thomas talked about stress here last month. How stress can shorten your life. But stress is important. Stress is to let you know that something's wrong. And you got to alleviate that. Now, we can take a lot of stress. But when we leave the stress on Jesus' feet, that He will tell us what to do through His Scripture. It takes communication. And that's the big thing about the Bible and us and Jesus. You can talk to your brothers and sisters across town and everything, you know, everything's hunky-dory. But when you talk to Jesus, you talk to him in prayer. And when you talk to him in prayer, you are communicating with him. And when you read the Bible, he's communicating back with you. Amen. It takes a two-way street. It's not a one-way. But to get things circulated, we got to learn what God wants us to do in our lives and what we plan our future around God instead of having God plan our future for us. We got to depend on God. I might have said that wrong a while ago. But let God plan your future. You can't go wrong. Now I want to talk about Paul a minute. He was in Acts 22, verse 21. He was talking to the Jerusalem mob. He was giving an account of his life before the mob. And he was born in Tarsus. But he moved to Jerusalem. He was brought to Jerusalem city, where he stood under the feet of Gamaliel, under the strictest law of his fathers. Now, if you've gone through all that, you figure you know what you're going to do. You're going to do what God wants you to do. So he's going out and persecute Christians. He got a letter consent him go to Damascus to enslave the Christians there. But before he got there, it was about noon. Felt like today, nice bright day. A light shone around. How do you think a bright light that would have been? Everybody saw the light, but they didn't hear him speak. He says, "Saul, Saul, why is thou persecuting me?" So what, thou Lord? I'm the one you're persecuting. And when he got knowing that he was not doing God's will, he made a 180-degree turn. He went from persecuting them to supporting them. Now, he couldn't do it on his own. Ananias had to come by and witness the whole thing. And God talked to him. And so Ananias introduced him to the church. And that's how Paul got started in the church itself. There's a lot of things that happen in our lives. There's sometimes we're going to have detours. We're going to have roadblocks. You know how you go down road, you know, and sometimes they'll be working on a road. They have your detour, and sometimes on the roughest roads there is. And you wonder, why? But after a period of time, when that road's nice and smooth, you know, when you go down that road again, but you went down that side road for a purpose, to avoid what was going on the road. So when we are detoured, God detours because he don't want us going in that direction. And the same way with Peter. He was like me, I was a Marine Corps, and I was gung-ho. Well, Peter was gung-ho Jesus. He's going to be defender of Jesus. He sliced the ear off a servant because keep them from taking him to where he's supposed to be going. Jesus took his ear and put it right back on. Nobody really noticed it, I don't think. But Scripture says it. But then later on, he realized what he did. He wept bitterly. And he repented. And he turned back. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to preach the first sermon in Acts. These are unlearned men. They never have been to school. But they know Galilean. They're speaking in our tongues. They speak that we can understand. That's what it's all about. We teach each other so we can understand. So we know what life is all about. Life much more than games. I like playing games myself. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, and show you that, man, the Bible fell. And they got right back up. They didn't let their circumstances tell them what to do. They got up. It's like riding a bicycle. For me, a horse. You fall off the bicycle, what you do? You get right back on. Because that's the only way you're going to learn to do the bicycle. That's the only way you're going to learn to ride a horse. You fall off, you get right back on. That's the same with our spiritual life. We all going to fall down one time or another. But do we have resilience to jump back up and say, I'm sorry? Because a lot of times in this world, there's people who won't say they're sorry. And I feel sorry for them. That when we, as a body, we'll teach together, learn together, do the things that God would want us to do. Then we will. We'll be glorified. But first, we got to glorify God. Like the first song we sang. Because even in your discomforts, also James says, you'll find yourself in many diverse temptations. Which means many temptations. You're going to find yourself a lot of times in places you really don't want to be. But you count all joy. Because through these situations, the problems you find yourself in, you'll gain patience with yourself, patience with others. And you'll be at peace with God. Because you're not right on people to pay you back. I had a few people I did work for. They only paid me partially. But I let it go. Because God said, forgive them, for they don't know what to do. I want to tell you a little bit about my experience. I was raised mostly in Oklahoma. I lived out in the country. Did 4-H club as a child, up through junior high school. Matter of fact, I went to a country school. I didn't go to no city school. Our school room, when I first started, was only two rooms. They had four grades in each room. In my class, the class ahead of me, only had three students. There was only maybe six in our class. But we're all in the same room. The teacher worked around where we do different subjects at different times, so she rotates around so she can take care of everybody. And that schoolroom had a lot of history. I lived about a mile from the school, and I stand out there, and I saw the very lightning that struck it, burned it to the ground. It was so old, it just burned like a... It didn't take long for it to go out. It was about a half an hour, but it would burn clear down. It was so dry. I graduated in 65. I went to the Marine Corps in 65. I saw many disturbing things. I had to do a lot of things I didn't want to do. And sometimes when you think the end is near, you make greater, meet your maker. And that's what we do. And all of a sudden, fast as I can blink, everything changed. They saw a bunch of crazy Marines jumping out behind a rice paddy wall, charging 12 of us. And they turned around and ran. There was over 200 of them. But the Lord turned them around. There's a lot of things going on over there I can't really talk about. I've been through TSP. I've seen little kids get shot because they didn't know what they was doing. The enemy will put hand grenades in their hand and tell them, you go up there and drop it. And so, poor child, I know she's going to heaven because she didn't know any better. But do we know better? I know this is a solemn occasion that I'm trying to stress that things that makes a good life is reducing our stress. And let you know what kind of conflicts other people's been through and have survived by the Lord's will. I have survived by the Lord's will because I can't say I did it all by myself. It was God showing me the way. Now, everybody can have that. Especially those who are not members of the Lord's body. You come by hearing the word. John 44:45. You heard the word today. You got to repent. That means you got to do a 180 from what you have done in times past up to this time. All the evil that we have done, we got to repent of it. And then we got to confess. Confess Christ as the Son of the living God. Because it's through whom we all survive. He helps us to survive. He shows us how to survive. And then after that, you got to be buried in baptism. A liquid, watery grave. Which means you die to Christ. As Christ died for us, you died by being submersed completely underwater. Like Christ was in the tomb. Then you, when you rise up, you become a new creature in God's eyes. All your sins forgiven. You got a clean slate. You can start all over and you can build on it. But there's times when even we are members of church that we have done aught against each other, that we did things that is not Christian-like, that we ought to be concerned about our character. Because everything we do in this world, in this life, I should say, develops our character. Each moment, whoever you communicate with develops your character. Who are you today? Are you ready? When the Lord says, come on home. Because everybody's got to meet Jesus. When the time comes, if we're acclimated and have come unto the Lord. It's been over 2,000 years since Jesus has been here. He said he's going to come in like manner. And when he does that, first, the dead in the ground, in the sea, wherever, eaten by creatures, will meet up with their old bodies. And as they come up, then those, all people will go up, not just them. And we all go for the judgment bar. And says, which one to hear? Well, now that, well done, that good and faithful servant, or go to hell. There's only two roads we can go. So, I want to go to heaven. How about you? As that gave you the steps to become a Christian, those who would like to become Christians and want to confess Christ as Son of the Living God, and also those who have fallen away from their first love, the love that you had when you first came into the Lord. Maybe all respond as accordingly as we stand and sing.